Gail, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, before we talk about your performance in Newark on February 23rd, give me some background about yourself.
Well, I've been playing organ all my life, since about the age of 13, and played piano before that, and always sang in choirs. So that story will be replicated by organists worldwide. They get started by singing in a choir somewhere when they're very young, and then are attracted to the organ. They are exposed to that music from their earliest days and just find something splendid about it, and that's my story. As an adult, I teach at Columbia University. I'm chair of music at Barnard College, the Women's College of Columbia University. I direct the two choirs here. My large choir is about 80 members, and chamber singers about 20. And I'm organist up at Vassar College, where I have a whole studio of organ students that I've developed over the last 12 years. So I do choir and organ, but in the context of two universities, rather than having a parish. I did have a parish for many, many years and played church services and directed church choirs for many, many years. But at this point in my career, I teach at the two universities and then play about 50 concerts a year nationally and internationally.
Why the organ, Gail? There are so many instruments. Why the organ?
The color, the sonic color and the variety and the creativity of all of that. I've always been drawn to that. Yes, you can play the piano, and there's splendid music for the piano. There's no question about that. I took many years of piano lessons along with organ. But then just organ, because the vast literature, it runs from the Renaissance to the present. I'm always commissioning new pieces from women composers particularly. I'm interested in how broad the possibilities are for the sonic diversity. I played the complete works of Olivier Messiaen, a great modern master, for the 100th anniversary of his birth in 2008. And Messiaen, among modern composers, puts all the registrations into a score because he was an organist himself. That's unusual. Most of the time you get a little bit of an indication as to what the composer's thinking about. But with Messiaen, it's madly detailed, and that's a positive part of his art. And I became very attracted to that because he used the organ in a very unique way. And it's not only the spirituality of the music, as he was a devout Roman Catholic and very mystical, interested in the Church Fathers, in St. Thomas Aquinas, and the verses from the Bible or from the Church Fathers are throughout the music, and I found that very attractive. So this idea of a sonic universe that is virtually limitless is something that attracted me to the organ.
All right, let's talk about your upcoming performance in Delaware in Newark. Where are you going to be, and what will you be performing?
Okay, I was invited by my colleague Jennifer Barker, who's there teaching, and she's a woman composer also. So she asked me to play entirely women's literature. So that's what I'm going to do. The two of the pieces on the program are pieces that I commissioned. The first is by Joan Tower, who's my colleague up at Bard College here in New York State. She wrote the piece for the American Guild of Organists convention in 2016, but I worked on it with her while she was composing it so that I helped to orchestrate and decide the sonic colors in that piece. The piece is called Power Dance, and that's the first piece I'm playing. Then I'm playing another piece by Judith Shayton called Dust and Shadow. Judith is a professor of composition at the University of Virginia, Charlottesville, and I commissioned that piece in 2017, so I'll be playing that. And a piece by Mary Howe, who was in Washington, D.C. for many years, teaching Catholic University and involved with the arts in Washington. Let's go to Libby Larson. Libby Larson's piece, Aspects of Glory, three movements, all inspired by hymn tunes. It's all women composers. So I'm also going to play a set by Jennifer Higdon, Ceremony Suite. She teaches down at the Curtis Institute in the Philadelphia area. That's a three-movement piece as well. What's interesting about it is that she actually wrote this as a piece called Ceremonies for a brass quintet and organ. But several of the movements were organ alone. And then she took out the three organ movements and published that as a separate piece. So that's what I'm going to play, three pieces for organ. I'm going to play three short pieces also by Nadia Boulanger, the great French teacher and composer, Prelude, Petit Canon, and Improvisation. And then finally, Jean Demessieux, her Te Deum Laudamus. She was a remarkable organist composer earlier in the 20th century. She died in 1968, and she is said to have memorized some 2,500 pieces in her life and played all over Europe, was a renowned organist, and had this prodigious memory. So I really feel it's very important for women musicians to keep her voice alive in the world. So that's the last piece on the program, is the Te Deum.
Gail, what do these works mean to you? They must mean something.
Absolutely. It is more difficult for women composers and women organists to find venues to have their music performed and to have opportunities to perform. Well-educated women struggle in this field. It's very, very difficult. I researched all the women organists in North America. It took me 2 years to do it. And the statistics were really startling. There are zero women leading an organ program at a conservatory in North America, as I'm speaking to you. There are two women teaching organ in a major research institution in a major city in the United States, one in Phoenix and one in Seattle. And there are two women who are cathedral musicians in a major U.S. city, one in New York and one in Houston. There are about 80 women teaching organ at colleges in the United States, but they're in small towns. I teach organ at Vassar College up in Poughkeepsie, New York. Yes, I have a flourishing program, but I don't teach here in New York City at all. I don't teach organ because there are such difficulties in moving forward in your career. Women find themselves blocked in various ways in various institutions. The more highly educated and skilled you are, the more barriers you face based on gender. And so it means a great deal to me to play music by women composers. Their voices must be heard in the world. They are marvelous creative artists. They deserve the attention that the public could give to them for the beauty of their music. And that seems a worthy mission.
I can hear the emotion in your voice. Can you tell us the day, date, time, location of your performance?
Yes, it's going to be on the last weekend. Hang on one second. It is the last weekend in February. It's at the University of Delaware. It's at 3 p.m. on the campus, in the campus concert hall. And I hope that the public will come. They are cordially invited.
Is there a website people can read more information about you and about this performance?
Yes, indeed. My website is www.gailarcher, and Gail is spelled GAILARCHER.com. All of my concerts are listed on my website, and including this one. And I'm very glad to tell people about it and hope that they will come and support the women composers.